Habakkuk is not a happy prophet. He is ministering to the people of Judah in the time just before the exile. He is not happy because he sees how far the holy people of God, the covenanted people of God, have fallen away from the will of God, from the law of God, which when is lived out to its fullest, protects the widow and the orphan, the poor and the stranger, and grants them dignity, a place in society, and an ability to live their lives in harmony and peace. Widows were blamed for the death of their husbands in that society. They suffered a dehumanizing fate because they were no longer owned by a man. Orphans who were fatherless belonged nowhere. The poor were exploited even more, and the stranger was treated with violence and exclusion. The aspect of relationships to widows and orphans, the poor and the stranger, was the measure of Israel's fidelity, of the people of Judah's fidelity to the will of God, and they fell far short. But what bothered Habakkuk even more was, even as the people of Judah fell so far short from the plan of life and the plan of integrity that God had spelled out for them, the people of Babylon were surely not any better. So how could they be the apparent instruments in God's hands for bringing about a change in Judah, for handing that shock to Judah, which would allow it to wake up, to reassess its life, to examine itself in the light of God's word, and come to repentance, and come to a renewal of relationships where the widow, the orphan, the poor, and the stranger would be protected, would be enabled to live their lives and find a dignified place within the life of the people of God, the life of the people of Judah, the life of the descendants of Israel. Habakkuk cannot see that the vile outsider, in his opinion, could be an instrument in the hands of God, that the uncircumcised, violent worshipper of many idols could even hear and be moved by the voice of God. Yet God responds to Habakkuk kindly and gently, showing Habakkuk that all things are in fact in his hand, and that his special relationship with Judah, with the people of the covenant, demands of them a great responsibility, demands of them to be the example to other nations of the joy that comes from doing things according to the will of God. But even as they have this special position, all peoples are in the hands and the mercy of God, even the most vile and reviled from our own limited human point of view. This important lesson often gets lost on us. Speaking here from the South African perspective, we had the great experience of unity and of celebration during the Football World Cup. Immediately afterwards, there were flares of violent outburst aimed at refugees from other parts of Africa and other parts of the world who had seen in South African society a source of hope and a guarantee of their human dignity because of our constitution, a place where they could scrape their lives together with dignity to rebuild and also to contribute to the society that housed them. Yet many of us in South Africa have turned on them with violence, with exclusion, and so have abrogated by our deeds the very, very high principles we have set for ourselves through the formulation of our constitution, born out of the pain of the inhumanity of apartheid, born out of the suffering of our ancestors. We have not listened. We impose pain. And so too we will be called to correction by the voices in our midst, and of course too the reaction of a world disappointed in us for what we do not achieve in terms of our own ideals for society. Ideals which resonate with the task given to Judah by God, a task whose success can be measured by the fate of widows, orphans, the poor, and the oppressed in the society. Are they enabled to live to their full human dignity? Are they enabled to show forth, if we'd use Christian terms, to show forth the fullness of the gift of Christ, which is renewed in humanity through his death and his resurrection for the sake of all? Other societies in other parts of the world struggle with a similar dissonance between their high principles and their actual actions. The way the stranger, the refugee, the alien is treated, the way the vulnerable are treated, the way in which the vulnerable are cared for or simply ignored, the way the poor are sidelined as being blamed for their own poverty and their own powerlessness in society. The prophet Habakkuk tried to give a wake-up call to the people of Judah, saying to them that if they do not fulfill God's command regarding the most vulnerable, they too in turn will have to feel that vulnerability so as to be able to have the compassion and to have the insight into what it is to be vulnerable and outcast, to have no resources, and so the exile follows. And Babylon, the reviled outsider, is that place of mercy where Judah can rediscover its vulnerability. So too everybody we regard as an outsider and a threat, could be that merciful place of vulnerability that allows us to identify with the truly vulnerable and the truly oppressed in our society, so as to be able to bring to them the mercy and the peace of God. Habakkuk was not happy. In his unhappiness, he questioned God. God embraced his honesty and did give him some answers, a direction for the future. We are also invited to be honest to God. Honest about the people who threaten us. Honest about the people we consider as not being anywhere near the work of God. Honest about those who frighten us, so that we can learn that vulnerability and have compassion with the truly vulnerable in our own societies, to be able to reach out to them and make a difference. It all starts with that honesty to God about what threatens us, about what we don't like, so that God can mercifully bring us to an understanding of what he wants for us in our society here and now. Amen.